This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. President Trump claims to have opened the market in Europe to U.S. farmers. That was quickly contested by the European Union spokesman and European Union head Claude Juncker. President Trump did bring up agriculture in the meeting, but the EU officials say that they refuse to include agriculture in future talks, and Juncker claimed to lack the mandate to do so. They say that they'll not buy any more soybeans as a specific result of talks held at this point. The $2 premium in Brazil for soybeans over those here will drive them to the United States for some soy supply. The problem is that they buy non-GMO soybeans and have no intention of buying our commodity soy, so what they buy will be limited by that availability. Trump creates headlines to promote his narrative and leaves out all the important details. There is a heat wave around the world that is negatively impacting crops. There were 118 locations matching or setting new all-time highs being recorded globally. Wheat production is being dialed back most everywhere. Temperatures warm for the Corn Belt ahead, too. I think that the overall crop condition ratings hit their high early in the season and are on a path of deterioration that may end at no better than trendline yield. According to Dr. Taylor, corn can handle 93 degrees without damage to yields. Heat during the fill accelerates maturity, which negatively impacts them. The weather is turning less favorable in forecasts worldwide. Funds are now long wheat, but added to shorts in corn and soybeans. I think that the short position in corn is a source of future short covering that will eventually benefit prices. The primary take on trade is that Trump will dial it back for the next 100 days until after the election. Given that the tariff is built into the spread between Brazilian and U.S. soybeans, there's less reason to be bearish. However, the poor prospect of the tariff changing anytime soon provides little reason to be long either. I'm bullish corn. Trump says that they are very close to approving year-round E15, issuing the vapor waiver. That is good, but will not help anymore for this year. The summer fuel regulation period that prohibits E15 sales is June 1st through August. In other words, issuing the vapor waiver now will do no good for this season. Trump first announced the waiver was coming May 8th from the White House. If EPA would have acted quickly, the waiver would have been issued for this summer. I believe that it was purposefully delayed. Trump's EPA issued 2.25 billion gallons of RIN waivers, and they did that quickly and untransparently. Even CHS got a RIN waiver. That means that CHS asked for the waiver not to comply with the RFS and got it, helping to undermine the RFS. Trump made the most anti-ethanol person possible, Scott Pruitt, head of the EPA, and it was our good fortune that he was ethically impaired enough to be forced to resign. There's no assurance that the new administrator, Andrew Wheeler, will be any better. The president of the Iowa Soybean Association said that farmers have not been hurt by tariffs yet, citing his own situation of having sold all of his old crop and half of his new crop soybeans. Until you are forced to sell some cheap beans, you have not been hurt yet. Most farmers with soybeans will hold off sales as long as possible. They promised $7 to $8 billion in direct payments before the election, with few details of how they will be distributed between farmers and commodities. Commodity producers other than grain and soybean producers, such as dairy hogs and even lobsters, have been forced to make sales at low prices, and they are suffering. They are trying to delay the impact of tariffs on the ag economy by making these payments. If it drags into late year, then farmers will be forced to open discussions for reducing rents with landlords, bankers will want more collateral, and pressure on farmland assets will likely develop. Farmers will also put pressure on input suppliers. That is hard to do if shifting a lot of acres to corn. That could ruin that market too. The tariff payments are to buy time and buy votes. On hogs, packers only killed 1.987 million head last week. If packers were making money, they might have tried to make that up. Tyson had to change computer systems, but it was celebrated by packers as a means to back up numbers. Hopefully the short kill will buy them a little leverage in the pork trade as well as reinforce their leverage in the cash hog market. The way through numbers is to kill a lot of hogs, but they're not making money. The retail trade shows that there's plenty more pork coming, and every reason it should stay cheap. Right now everyone is speculating at just how big a disaster this fall the hog market will be. In 1998, hog futures got to 20 cents while pork was selling for the equivalent of $40 hogs. Packers made record profits while producers went broke. This time, pork packers aren't making any money either. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.